Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our Sunday School Hour at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. If you take your hymn books and turn to number 329, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. 329. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past. For his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. While I from his fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I sit me at thy feet. O look down in love upon me, let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have the privilege of gathering in thy house today. Thankful that we can study thy word, and in so doing, sit at the feet of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as others did in Bible times, where they desired to hear the truth. I pray that would be our desire here as well. Pray for those that are joining via live stream, that they would set aside those things that would hinder them from hearing the truth today, that they would be able to pay attention to the time that we have together. We do pray for our live streaming, that it would be a strong connection, that people could join and be helped. We do pray for the many countries that we're able to enter into via live stream. We do pray for those people that are joining us, that they would know thy peace and blessing. We do pray for countries like China and North Korea and the Venezuela, countries that are communist and closed, very close to the gospel. We're thankful that thy word can still go forth into these countries, even though the government doesn't want it there. We pray for our own country, as we know that our government does not want the truth here either. And we know that they have tried to silence us in the past. We pray for boldness, we pray for wisdom, and we could pray for continued freedom to be able to gather and to proclaim thy name. Help us to put thee first and not to be intimidated by wicked government officials or police horses. We pray for our police and governments, as well as for the armies, as the government wants to enlist them. We do pray for many of those people to be saved and to see their need to repent and know the truth. We ask that thy will be done in the land of Israel. We pray for the families of those six hostages that were killed. Pray those families would desire to know the truth, want thy peace and forgiveness in their hearts. We pray for the soldiers as they face danger every day. We pray for many of them that they would be saved and know thy peace as well. We pray for the Jews scattered across the world, that many would be saved. We want thy forgiveness and blessing. And we do pray for Mr. Netanyahu, that he would be saved while he still has opportunity. Pray for the situation in Ukraine, for the Christians there as well as in Russia, that they'd be faithful to thee and be able to help others to know thy forgiveness and blessing as well. We pray for the Dix as they anticipate moving, that thy will be accomplished as they desire to sell their house. We do pray for Tom as well, that he would allow thee to direct his thoughts, that he would want thy peace and truth in his heart. For others that have visited, we pray for the salvation of many. Pray that we'd be faithful to thee and glorify thee today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Memory verse from Matthew 11.
Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28.
Okay, verse 29 for next week. You brought a different Bible today. Where's your other Bible? You remember where your verse was? Hey, you remember where your verse was? What's your memory verse? John 6. Verse 20? 48, yeah? Yeah, that's what I thought. So what I thought, verse 48. Let's say it again. John 6, verse 48. Right. I. Right. And who's saying that? Do you know who's saying that? That's Jesus. He is the bread of life. How many we got there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that right? Is that 6 now? 1, 2, 3, there's still 7.
Two.
Somebody can't count, eh? Is that better?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Oh, yeah. I think this we can leave here, yeah? I don't think Grandma wants that in the classroom, does she? I'll play with it. How's that?
Uh-oh. Can Pastor play with your, what is he, a tiger?
We've been looking at the inspiration of the scriptures, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And one of the things that we know about the Bible is that you cannot read it like a newspaper and expect to get the blessing out of it that God intended for you, because it's a spiritual book. And so the natural man, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So the natural man, who is a lost person, he reads the Word of God, but he doesn't understand it. We have a good example of that if we go back in our Bibles to the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 8, we see a man who was being led by God to the truth, but he was not yet saved. And so in verse 29 of Acts 8, it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture to preach unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So in that passage, we have the Ethiopian eunuch who has been to Jerusalem. Now he's going back home and he's reading. He's got lots of time, riding in a chariot. You're not going fast. So he's got lots of time to read. And he happens to have a scroll with him of the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah. And he's reading it, but he does not understand what he's reading, doesn't know who it's speaking of. So Philip was directed by God to go and meet up with this man and to teach him what it was that he was reading. So here is an example of a natural man. A natural man is not necessarily someone who is deliberately fighting against God, but he's unsaved. This man obviously is being drawn by God and he wants to know the truth, but he can't understand it. And so Philip was needed there to help him to understand what he was reading. And in my lifetime, my experience has been that when people claim to have gotten saved on their own by reading the Bible, their doctrine usually is not correct. Some of them are actually saved, but they don't have understanding when it comes to the study of God's Word, and so they get things wrong. Now, it's easy for any one of us as Christians to get things wrong, but it is important for us to understand we need to be guided in our study of God's Word. And certainly a lost person does, to make sure that they're understanding properly. I was talking with a man this week who was told by a church that in order for him to be saved, he needed to be baptized. And so he, not being saved, believed that and went and got made wet. He didn't get baptized, he just got wet. Because you don't get saved by baptism. And that church does not know how to teach the truth. And so the man has had water put on him and thinks that he's a better person, but he's not a saved person. And so that's the danger of taking the Word of God and thinking, well, it's just words on a page. I can understand that. we're going to see in this morning's message as well, that it takes more than just reading the words on the page to understand what's going on. So the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritual. They're spiritual because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so we know that. We see that in our Zoom meetings. We can see that when we're broadcasting, that there are some people who are busy playing with things and doing different things. They're very easily distracted because the Word of God is not having the impact in their lives that it needs to have. They're allowing the devil to distract them with things and keeping them from hearing the Word of God as they need to. So it's very important for us. That's why I pray that even for those that are live streaming, some of them, probably most of them, are sitting in their homes. And in your home, there's all kinds of things that distract you. You might say, oh, I'm going to get up and make myself a cup of coffee, or I'm going to go and do this, or I'm going to go and do that. And you're distracted and you miss out on what is being taught. And so then you come back to the session and you've missed that. And now you have to assume what was being said because you haven't heard it. So if a person needs to stay at home, they're sick or whatever, and they're going to live stream, they should put aside the distractions, just like at our church. We don't want people getting up during the service and going to the bathroom. There's time beforehand, there's time afterwards. If a person has a bladder issue, that's different. But as a rule, you can sit for an hour or an hour and a half even and not have to go to the washroom. What would it be like if you were sitting there in your chairs and I decided during the service, I'm going to go to the bathroom? You know, same difference. So we need to learn that. We need to discipline ourselves and make sure that we are able to pay attention to what's going on during the service. And that will be helpful for us when we are doing that. So the spiritual man, as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 15, it says there, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So the spiritual man is the one who's saved. Now what makes him a spiritual man? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that when a person is saved, the Spirit of God indwells him. Turn back in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and you'll see that. So we're spiritual not because of ourselves, but because of the change that God has made. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice the word Spirit there is capital S. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And you notice in that verse, the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, is called the Spirit of God, but he's also called the Spirit of Christ. So again, we see the Godhead here, all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are together, working together in the salvation of the sinner. And so the spiritual man has the Holy Spirit indwelling him, and therefore he can judge all things by the Word of God. He doesn't judge things by his own opinions. Sometimes we do that, even as Christians. We think that we're so smart, but we need to judge things by the Word of God. Does the Bible say that? That's why I encourage the listeners, whether you're at home or whether you're here, when we turn to a Bible verse, turn there. Don't just trust me to be reading it to you. It helps you, when you turn to that verse, it helps you in the future to remember where things are in the Bible. If you just sit and listen to the preacher, you're not learning where that verse is found in the Bible. Because you're not that smart. You don't remember everything. I don't either. So as we do things, as we listen and as we do, we learn. We get to appropriate, okay, this was back in there. This was here and so on. And over time, it doesn't happen overnight, but over time, you get more familiar where things are found in the Bible. That's why you do that. Now, there are some people who have what's called a photographic memory. And I remember in Bible school, there was one student in my class that he memorized where verses were by what page they were on, what side of the Bible, left side, right side. And so that's what he did. He had a photographic memory to a certain degree. And so he could remember where the verse was by remembering where it was on a page. Now, I don't have that, and I don't know how many people do have that, but as we spend time in God's Word, we get to remember where things are found. And that's important when you're going to witness to someone. As I was witnessing to a person this week, you know, I don't know what kind of questions people are going to ask me, so how can I prepare? So when he was talking, then God reminded me of a certain verse, and because I spend time in his Word, he helped me to remember where those verses are to be able to show that person, here's what God says. And that's important. We want people to know, what does God say? That's more important than what we say. And so we need to be in the Word of God to make ourselves more familiar with the Word of God so we can help ourselves as well as others. So the natural or the spiritual man, he judges all things by the Word of God. He hears someone say something. For instance, this week a person said that he likes rap music, and he said the one rapper he listens to, he speaks the truth. He has Bible truth, he said. So then he used an illustration. He said this rapper talked about how that the woman was the one that brought sin into the world. Well, I stopped him there and I said, no, that's not true. And I took him back to Genesis chapter 3 and to Romans chapter 5, and it tells us there that Adam is the one who brought sin into the world, not Eve. And so this rapper, and I told him before he ever tried to defend him, I told him there's no such a thing as a Christian rapper. And he thought there was. So you see, when we have the Word of God, we can help people. Now, whether they accept what we say, that's up to them. But we can show them from the Bible what the Bible says. And that's important. So the spiritual man judgeth all things. He hears something, he judges it by the Word of God. The natural man doesn't do that. So the spiritual man, it says here further, yet he himself is judged of no man. So if you want to come and criticize me, you can do that, but I'm not going to accept that criticism unless you can prove it to me from the Bible. If you just have an opinion and you think that I should do something based on your opinion, well, you're free to have your opinion, but you're not going to change me just because you have an opinion. The Word of God is the standard by which I need to conduct myself. And that's important for every Christian. We go by what God says. And when we do that, that's how we grow. If you are moved by different people, you're going to be like the waves of the sea. You're going to be tossed to and fro because this person is going to tell you one thing, someone else is going to tell you something else, and you don't know where to go and what to do. So you need to be grounded in the Word of God. So very important to be a spiritual person, be a saved person, so that you can know the truth and that you can help others. Now, the contrast, there's another person that God talks about. We have the natural man in verse 14. We have the spiritual man in verse 15. And we have the carnal man in chapter 3. And so it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So the carnal person is still a Christian, but he's not a spiritual man. He's a carnal person. He's a babe in Christ. He's not walking in the Spirit. That's the difference. In verse 2, it says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." So that would be a, quite a concern for any parent. You expect your child to live basically on milk when they're born. But if your child is 3 years old and still living just on milk, you've got a problem. By that time, that child should be eating some solid foods. And if that child continues to just live on milk, and year after year is still just living on milk, they're not going to be strong. You can't get everything that you need as you grow just from milk. And so, and furthermore, the mother's milk, and that's what the normal, that's what God's design is for man, is to be the baby to be fed mother's milk when it's a baby. But the mother does not produce milk year after year. Her body stops producing milk. That's God's design, because that child no longer needs it. The human mother only produces milk long enough for her child, for the time that the child needs it. Then it quits. When we look at the animal world, we drink cow's milk. But if you take a cow, a beef cow, that cow will only milk as long as the calf needs the milk. People have been manipulated cows to get certain cows to milk longer. That's why we have dairy farms. Same with goats. But the normal cycle is for the animal, the mother animal, to produce the milk long enough for the young animal to need it. And after that, it stops. And with people, for sure. So the carnal person is the person who never gets beyond the baby stage, always needing milk, always needs everything explained and re-explained and re-explained, and never gets to the place of studying the Bible themselves, never gets to the place of getting a firm conviction on anything, always has to be reminded and told what to do and what not to do. That's the carnal person. So that person is still saved, but needs to grow. And we see in 1 Corinthians 3 that God is not content with leaving a person in that carnal state. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, we read there, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So that's what God expects of the true Christian. He's taught by somebody. He's taught the word of God. He receives the word of God as the word of God. He realizes this is not just man's opinion. That's one of the problems that most Christians, professing Christians, have today, because their pastors don't preach from the word of God. They will preach the NIV, the New Living Standard, and all kinds of different Bibles they will have, and they'll pop them up on a screen, and they'll say, "I like the way this translation puts it here, and I like the way this one puts it over here," and so on. And so the person cannot, first of all, follow along because he doesn't have that multitude of Bibles before him. Secondly, they're all perversions. And so he can't grow. And that's why you have such a weakness amongst the new evangelical crowd. They can't grow. They can't have a strong conviction on anything because they don't believe the word of God. And so they're always open to, well, this guy says that, and it sounds like there's some merit in that, so I guess we have to give room for that. No, we don't. We have a Bible. And so we can know the truth. We can have convictions, biblical convictions, if we receive the truth. And so Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 is talking to people who are growing. They are taking the word of God. They're growing, and it's working in their hearts and lives and strengthening them. In 1 Corinthians 3, the Christians in Corinth were not growing. So It wasn't that Paul was not doing his work properly. It was that they were not willing to receive it. So back in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." So he couldn't move on. He couldn't continue. There was no point in leaving them in their carnal state and teaching them deeper things of the Word of God when they weren't ready to receive it. It would just go over their head. So he needed to address, and God had directed him to address the issue of their carnality. The problem, what the problem was. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." So here, God, again, he has been working in sundry, that means in various and different times. He spoke in different ways. He spoke through prophets. He gave some Old Testament prophets visions. And he spoke sometimes directly. He spoke directly with Moses. So he spoke in divers manners to the fathers. Who are the fathers? Moses, Abraham, Noah. They were the fathers. The fathers in the sense that they came before. They were spiritual men who came before, not fathers in the sense that the Catholics have their priests and you want you to call them father. They're not father. But the biblical fathers are simply those who came before. And they were men of God, not the ungodly, but the men of God. And so he spoke by prophets. And now he spoke by his Son. So he's given the people and us today the truth. And so it's up to us to receive the truth as the Word of God. And again, that's where the Corinthians were in trouble. They were having trouble accepting the truth and growing. So the Scripture is infallible. And the Scripture has the power to change the man, but the man has to be willing to receive it. So a person can sit in a church service and have a Bible study. We can have our Zoom meetings. We can meet people on the street or wherever it is. If the person that we're talking to doesn't want to receive the Word of God, it's just going to go over their heads. They're not going to benefit from it. You find that often when you deal with children. Children can sit in a Sunday school class or in a church service, and you can ask them, even 5 minutes after the service, you ask them, "Well, what did you hear today?" And they have to think, and they're not sure, and they don't know what they heard. Why? Because they're not paying attention. Their minds are all over the place. And that's why you want to limit the distractions, to help them to be able to hear the truth. But we as adults can sometimes be the same way. We can read our Bible, for instance, in the morning and walk away from it and forget what we read. And that's what James wrote about, that we can be like that, where we forget what we look like after we see ourselves in the mirror, talking about the Bible being as that mirror. So we need to be willing to listen and receive the truth. So as we mentioned already, the Bible spoke in many different ways in the past, but now he's not doing that. He's speaking through his word, and he's speaking through evangelists and pastors and teachers. The prophets and apostles, that's the word of God, and the vocal, verbal sounds that we receive now are from evangelists and pastors and teachers. Anybody that says they got a vision from God, they're lying to you. They didn't get a vision from God. They got it from the devil. God is not speaking in visions today. So that's important that we understand that. So inspiration is important. And God's word is inspired. And that's why we want to make sure that we have God's word. We don't want to settle for a perversion, because you cannot have a person, for instance, when I'm speaking, I'm saying something, and if someone else says that I said something different, they're obviously wrong, because I know what I said and we have it recorded. So same thing, God is more important than I am, and he said something. And so someone comes along, like the perversions, and they say, well, this is what God said, when we have the word of God which tells us what he said, we know they can't both be right. And so we need an inspired text. And inspired means God breathed. And so if God breathed it, that's what we want. We don't want something that somebody else added his opinion to. And in some of the perversions, they are called, now the word just slipped from my mind, but they're called, forget the word right now. Anyway, they're not even a literal translation of the corrupted text, but they're a transliteration. They're a commentary on the Bible. Now, a commentary can be helpful if it's done by a God-fearing person. David Cloud is right now, he is making a commentary of the scriptures. He has some books of the Bible that he has already published his commentary on them. But David Cloud is still a man. He's a man that I respect, and I read his material, but he's still a man. So he can help me when it comes to the Bible, if he's done some study on things, because he travels a lot. And so he goes to places I'll never go to. And so he can add information that can be helpful, but it's not the same as the Bible. So it just is helpful to be able to study the Bible with some of that information. But it's always important, no matter what the commentary is, it's always important to pray and ask God to lead you in the study of God's word, to make sure that you're not being led astray, because even the best commentator is not infallible. I'm not infallible. So I try to be careful in what I tell you, but I'm not infallible, but God's word is. So that's important, that we follow what God's word tells us. So the scriptures, even though we're written by men, as the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians, they were written by men who were directed by God. So we go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. It says there, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is Peter writing this, but Peter is writing under the inspiration of God. And Peter, who in the verses before that is talking about when he met with James and John and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and where God glorified Jesus, and Moses and Elijah joined Jesus there, and Peter and James and John saw that, and Peter took that and was quite impressed and wanted to build tabernacles there for them. But he didn't know what he was saying, but he's brought to remember that here in 1 Peter chapter 1. And then he says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. And he tells us why it's more sure. And he says in verse 20, knowing this first. So there's something that we can know that is very important when it comes to the Bible. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So when you are studying a book of the Bible, you will often find that you can go elsewhere in the Bible and see that somebody else had something similar to say. You're not going to find an isolated passage very often. Now, in today's Bible message this morning, we're going to find a passage that has something to say that you won't find anywhere else in the Bible. Only one small part of that passage is going to be unique to Luke. So, makes it more difficult to understand what is being said then. But as we study, we can get some understanding even of that. Even though the direct wording is not used anywhere else, there are things that Luke said there that help us to be able to look at other places and to get an understanding. What is Luke driving at here? What is God telling him to write? And so it's not a private interpretation. And then in verse 21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." So Peter, in our context here, he didn't decide to sit down and write 2 Peter. God told him to write it. Holy men of God. So Peter was a holy man of God whom God could trust to write down exactly what he said. And so it says in verse 21 that they were holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that again speaks to the inspiration of the scriptures. They were directed by God to write what they wrote. I can't claim that when I'm preaching, even when I'm teaching right now, I can't claim that I'm inspired of God. I'm directed by God to say what I'm saying, but I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm simply explaining the Word of God, using illustrations and whatever, trying to help us all to understand what God says. That's what preaching is and teaching. But the men that God chose to write the Bible, they were holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Ghost to write what they wrote. So we have an accurate text that we can trust. Again, if you take the perversions, you don't have that. As we've been studying the fallibility of the NIV in our Zoom meeting, we see there, and we'll see further, how that perversion is perverted. It's a very corrupt translation of the Bible. And it was a very popular translation for a number of years. Since then, there have been many others that have been made, but that one was quite popular for a long time. They even made a concordance based on the NIV, which is also corrupt. So we have an accurate text that we can trust and that we can live by, and we can know that we are following the right way, and we can help others to know the truth as well. So that's the importance of inspiration. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 12, it says, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." So again, the reminder in that verse that we that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. So again, the scriptures were given by God to men, directed by the Holy Ghost in what they said. And the angels don't even understand the scriptures properly. They haven't been given that ability. It says that in verse 12, which things the angels desire to look into. In particular, it's talking about salvation. Angels don't understand salvation because they can't be saved. An angel that falls away like Satan did can't be saved. The angels that followed him can't be saved. They are doomed. They're going to be in the lake of fire eventually. And that's the end for them. But we can be forgiven and we can be saved. So that's a blessing that we have that they don't have and can't have. So we are privileged in that regard. So important again that we understand we have an inspired text, the Word of God, which we need to believe and follow. We're out of time again. We'll stop there and carry on there next time. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for thy word, thankful again for the truthfulness of thy word, for the inspiration of thy word, that we have a text that we can trust. I pray that each one that's listening today would see that and would trust in thy word and know thy peace and blessing. Prepare us for the preaching hour that thy will be accomplished, that we can be a help to others as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.